We pray in the words attributed to Francis of Assisi, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I might so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, it is in the pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in the dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
It feels good to be here this morning. It just feels right, right place and the right time. On a regular basis, Janice and I talk about this wonderful congregation and our experience here, and we often tell other people about this place. Right before we left, when I finished my internship here, I remember telling you all that I wish that I could figure out what it was about St. James that made it distinct and different from pretty much every other place that I've been. And I figured out what it is, and I just wanted to share with you this morning very briefly. It's all about love. There's just an atmosphere in this place of love, and that love extends to something that you don't find in a lot of places, and it's called respect and mutual love. One of the things that impressed me most about St. James when I was here and continues to impress me is the fact that even when you folks disagree, even when you disagree about significant issues, even when you disagree about things that you hold close to your heart, you listen to each other. And that I have found to be huge. And you have to remember, for the last 40 odd years, I work with people for a living. Working with people is what I do. And I've never quite experienced what I've experienced here. There are certain things that happen in life and in this country and in the world that often trigger in me images of Scripture, words from Scripture, and events from Scripture. For example, when I see women's roles and positions being diminished, either in our society or in our church, I remember that Jesus appeared to a woman first after the resurrection. That is who Jesus chose to go to. Or when I hear that another black man has died at the hands of police, and when I hear that yet another police person has gone without consequences for the killing, I often remember Amos's words, let justice run down like waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Or when I see a person on a street corner in need of help, I remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. There are words from the Gospels that have been at the forefront of my mind recently, and I want to share them with you. I'm not going to dwell on them because I think they stand on their own, and they're not the subject of my sermon this morning. The subject of my sermon this morning is indeed the Gospel text from this morning. Matthew writes that the Lord said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked, or gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, whom are members of my family, you did it to me." I wanted to share these words with you this morning. You see, oftentimes we get so caught up in the day's events that we forget what is really important. We get sidetracked by the day-to-day issues of life and we forget what is really crucial. As Christians, there are times we get diverted from our obligation to do God's will by appeals to our more selfish and self-centered instincts. I repeat, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these of my family, you did it to me. I like it when the Gospels are clear. I like it when statements of Jesus are clear, when it's out there, when it's apparent, when it doesn't take a lot of thinking to figure out where he's coming from. You see, I'm a simple preacher. I like to read it and deliver it and speak it simple and plain. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting down the great biblical minds, the men and women who can read Jesus' parables, understand the subtleties in his words, and interpret and explain to us what it means. I have a great degree of respect for biblical scholars. I'm just not one of them. I also have great admiration and respect for theologians, men and women who can grapple with such esoteric issues as the meaning of life. Answer questions like, who, after all, is the Lord? But like biblical scholars, I'm just not one of them. So if you're prepared to hear a scholarly dissertation on what Jesus had to say, you're in the wrong place this morning. I'm just a preacher from the south side of Chicago who loves the Lord. And I love speaking the Lord's words clearly and directly. Just like the great commandment, Jesus said, "Ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the laws and the prophets." You don't need a PhD to understand Jesus' meaning here. You don't need to have gone to seminary to understand this. All you need is a desire to understand the words of the Savior and to not use and misuse them for your own interest. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As my Baptist grandmama would say, that is about as clear as spring water. If it ain't about love, it ain't about God. If it ain't about love, it is not about the Jesus I know about. And for some of you who like to look for some obscure biblical text to justify something that you want to do or something that you want to say, you have to remember that in the final analysis, if it doesn't stand the test of love, it is not about the God or Jesus that we serve. Act out of love and feed the hungry. Act out of love and clothe the naked. Act out of love and visit the stranger. Visit those who are sick. Act out of love and welcome the stranger. And today's gospel, like the words about love, are clear and simple. So Jesus arrives in town with his posse, and he goes to the home of Martha. Let us remember that this is antiquity. Luke is making a point here. Jesus does not go to the home of Martha's father, nor Martha's husband, nor Martha's brother. He goes to the home of Martha. Luke is making the point that this woman has standing on her own. She has ownership of her own. Her standing is not dependent on a man. This is a radical departure from the notion that women only have identity through men. In antiquity, this is a radical departure from the norm. The point here is clear and inescapable. Indeed, it is a radical departure from the norm today in many societies and cultures. Here he is challenging the notion that women are less than second-class citizens. And Jesus chooses to go to exactly that home. I've said it before from this pulpit, and I will say it again, Jesus was a feminist. And once in the home, Martha goes about the business of what might be expected of her. She makes the comfort of her guests the priority over all else and goes about the many tasks to make people comfortable. And her little sister, obviously a rebellious, curious one, chose to sit with Jesus rather than to be a traditional hostess and help her sister. She chooses to partake of the rabbi's discourse rather than make the guests comfortable. Now I admit to taking some license here. The scripture does not specifically say that Mary was Martha's younger sister, nor does the scripture say that Mary was rebellious. I think she was the younger sister because Martha set the tone. The home was Martha, and in that setting, in that sense alone, Martha has already made a clear statement. Martha's already challenging the norms. Mary comes along as the younger sister and takes it one step further. Martha had the home, and Mary decides within the home to behave something different than the norms. Rather than preparing food, she decides to sit at the feet of Jesus and listens to what he has to say. Martha reacts to Mary as though this was expected from Mary, as though this was not the first time that Mary has decided to challenge the norms of the day. If she thought it was simply a matter of Mary forgetting where she was or what she was doing, I think Martha simply would have said, "Mary, I need some help. Would you help me out?" But no, she seizes upon the opportunity to put Mary on the spot in front of Jesus. She is looking to make a point to Mary about her behavior rather than simply seeking Mary's assistance. But to Martha's surprise, and I think disappointment, she does not get affirmation from Jesus. Rather, Jesus supports Mary's position. Jesus supports Mary's rebellious and curious behavior. Jesus says it is better to seek new information and perspective rather than functioning in old roles. There's a mighty message for us here today. The message is that you strive to move beyond the roles and limitations that others have imposed upon you or attempt to impose upon you. The message is that you rise up and move beyond what others want you to be and become all that God wants you to be. Now, I didn't say become all that you want to be. I reject the notion that people can be whatever it is they want to be if they just work hard enough. I don't care how hard I practice. I don't care how hard I work. I could never play basketball like Michael Jordan. It was not going to happen. I don't care how much time and energy I put into it. I'm not going to play soccer like Megan. And I don't care how hard I work and how hard I study, I will never be the orator or the theologian that William Sloan Coffin was. I simply wasn't made that way. I can, however, break the chains that society has placed on me and become all that God intended for me to be. The chains that said, "Fred, you stay here on the south side until you either OD, get shot, or go to jail." The chains that told me not to accept my position as a black man in American society and therefore be a second-class citizen. I can break the chains that told me in Boy Scout camp, Negroes don't become eagles. Don't even bother trying. If God intended for you to be a stay-at-home parent, if God intended for you to maintain the home and not to go out and become a great businessman or a professional, then that's what you should do, and it matters not what your gender is. If you are born biologically a woman, but you find yourself romantically attracted to other women, then that's what you should pursue, no matter what society or family tells you to do. You need to follow through with God's intentions for you. Be the best you can be in terms of what God intended you to be, not what society expects you to be. If it is clear that God has given you the gift to work in one of the trades, and that is what you are happy doing, then that's what you need to pursue and not go to college after high school, because that's what is expected. Now, I know that there are some parents who are squirming in their seats when they hear me say that. I understand that. But your children have to live with themselves. You don't. Your children have to be happy with themselves. It matters not that you are or not. Mary said, I am going to buck the norms of society. And Jesus said, I got your back on this. And my Jesus chooses to recognize women as an entity in their own right by visiting their home and by choosing to support a woman who is challenging the roles of women in the home. But there's nothing unusual about that in the context of who Jesus was. His support and recognition of women was not news. The hemorrhaging woman with no name, whose needs Jesus placed above the needs of a man who had a name in the community. After the resurrection, as I said, Jesus appeared to a woman. That's what Jesus thinks of women. And there is nothing new, nothing different in this story, nothing distinct in this story, nothing distinct in today's gospel reading about Jesus challenging the prevailing views and norms in society or in the church. Love your neighbor. The least is first. Love is more important than law. Be who God intended you to be. And for those of you who think these views are liberal, I say you're wrong. These are not liberal views. These are downright radical views. But they are the views of the Jesus we praise. They are the views of the Jesus we serve. I don't claim to understand every parable of Jesus, but I cannot find any place in Scripture where Jesus makes an exception to his commandment to love. I can't find it in Scripture where he said, love everybody except gay people. Love everybody except transgender people. Love everybody except people of color. Love everybody except immigrants. No place can I find that in Scripture. I've studied the Gospels enough to know that Jesus wants us to strive to be what he wants us to be, not what society and family wants us to be. I know where God stands on people leaving lands of oppression and seeking new places and new lives. The God I serve facilitated the exodus of people from lands of oppression. The God I serve split seas. I heard rumors, I heard talk of lands flowing with milk and honey. Lastly, Jesus' commandment to welcome a stranger and feed and clothe him seems inescapable to me. Amen.